This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving, Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of The Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Hey, Dr. Lindsay.
Hi.
Dr. Lindsay.
Nice to see you guys.
Okay, quick
intro.
Dr. Lindsay, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was born on a summer Sunday. That is true. I am a licensed psychologist in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. I got my doctorate in clinical psychology from Widener. And I've pretty much always worked in like some way in the intersection of psychology and law. So some people would call that forensic psychology. So I've worked in jail. I presently work in a prison. I've worked for the court system, and I've worked with individuals who are like mandated to treatment too. Mm-hmm. So I do a little bit of that, and I work here.
And she works here.
You work here at Therapy Group.
My favorite thing that you say is, I'm like, hey, you know, if we like text you and you like aren't available during the day because you work in a jail, you'll say, sorry, I was in jail. I just got out.
Just escaped. First day out.
Just escaped from jail. Yeah. I love that.
But Lindsay, we have a history together.
We do.
We do have a history
it's
together.
It's loaded and personal.
It's loaded and personal. We will not get into the details.
We're not here for that. That's a separate
because
episode.
We're not here for that shit. But we able to get you to join the therapy group because I put a desperate plea on our Instagram.
And we harassed you.
And I believe your response was, I would maybe do it.
Yeah.
I would maybe be interested. In which I furiously texted Jen and said, holy fucking shit. I think I can get this girl, Lindsay, to come join us. She's so cool. But I don't know if I can convince her.
And then when we interviewed her, we were like, oh my God.
But I actually, even in the interview, you're pretty ambivalent.
Oh, well, I had to play it cool. Like, I can't look desperate, you know?
We probably look so desperate.
I could tell that you were interested because I asked you like a one sentence question. And you sent me back like 10 sentences. I was like, oh, okay. Like, she actually wants me to work there. Like, it's not bullshit.
Really, man. Yeah.
And then our relationship, because we had like, I would say a decade hiatus of having no contact together.
Yes.
Due to loss of, right? I switched
loss
school.
Of what?
Yeah.
Well, I switched.
For no real reason.
We went to middle school together, and then I went to 1 year of the same high school as you, and then I switched.
Mm.
Right? You know.
Yeah, we didn't hate each other.
I went to inpatient.
Could you imagine if you had like a big falling out?
No, and we mainly both forgot about it. I would love that.
No, mainly the issue was I went to inpatient treatment. And then when I came back to the high school, I was far behind and it was chaotic. And so my parents just switched me into another school. It'd be easier to like start fresh at. And then there wasn't like social media then.
Right. And I will say that I think it's important that your listeners know that I think you got sent home from school one day for wearing juicy couture sweatpants that said juicy across the ass.
We talked about this. We have an episode where I talk about it.
Fired again.
I'm fucking fired. That's that.
Which episode?
I don't remember. But I do talk about
a purity culture.
Oh, purity culture. That's okay. What I talked about. It was that I got in. Were you in that class that it happened in?
It was so shaming. It was so uncomfortable.
So it was in fucking home ec, which don't get me started. We were making the animal pillows. Remember?
We had to sew.
Why?
Yeah. I mean, peas.
Like, so you can be a good wife.
That's why. So you can be a good wife. Right? And the teacher comes in and she goes, what are on your pants? And it was like juicy. Like everyone had that. Like it was like a normal thing, right? Like, and then I got sent to the principal's office. Dr. Schreimer? Schreimer immediately sent me home. And then the next day I come back to school. He calls me into his office again. And I'm like, shit. Again? And he goes, went home last night. My daughter had on the same sweatpants as you.
Did he apologize to you?
Yeah, he did.
Good.
The teacher did not. She was a bitch.
Well, like, the pants didn't. I love the way you just said that, whatever the fuck that was.
I don't really like calling women bitches because I'm sure for her time, right? Like, she didn't know anything better. She was teaching home ec.
Okay, well, she had different priorities. She needs to drink too many margaritas at the local Applebee's and loosen the fuck up. Doesn't she? I wish I remembered her name because I would, like, probably I call her out her right name. Now by name.
Why did we both black out her name? I have no idea. Probably so you were in. So you were in that class.
Yes.
Yeah, walked out in front of the whole thing. And I wish that was the only time something that happened to me.
Well, remember spaghetti straps?
Well, when you hit, wait, listen. When you hit puberty at 10 years old and get your period in elementary school and your tits are the size of most kids' heads by you get to middle school, you are really shamed. Like, I was automatic, right?
Well, you're taught to hate your body.
Yes.
And that is also at a time where, like, I don't know who had a good middle school experience. Like, did anybody?
No, I just talked about how depressed I was.
I think middle school is way worse than high school.
I also, your hated hormones myself. Are raging. Also, did you ever get elbowed in the boob when you were going through puberty?
No, yes, what's going on with you two?
It's like in the hallway, kids are like running and you're just like this. Oh, yes.
Like,
yeah, I think like chicken. Yes.
And no, I can't say that.
Okay,
that's
so you know
today.
What I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And
it's the worst pain.
Yeah.
Because you're going through puberty.
Okay, well, when we're done, you can just like elbow my tit and we'll see how it goes.
No, it'll be different. Unless you're still going through puberty.
Unfortunately, I'm 31, so I think that's out.
Are we sure? Okay, so we have a long history together.
Yes, we do.
And then we had to, beg you to come here. So we share you with the prison system.
Yes, you
do. The jail system.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard for us.
It's very hard because
it's hard for them too. I'm sure that they would want me there more if they could have me more.
But the real reason we were like, you have to come on is because you are like the person that we can go to when we like have something like anxiety producing. You are so good at communication.
Thank
you. So you'll be like, just say no or just put a boundary down.
And Emily and I are both like, wait.
What? How?
Wait, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even occur to us.
To say no?
I don't know how.
We have people.
We do in a professional setting, right? So, like with my clients, I can.
It's a lot easier.
But it's so much easier, right? But even, like, we're so uncomfortable. Like we didn't really plan for the practice to grow the way the practice has grown.
Yeah.
And so we weren't, like, really going in. Nobody goes to become a therapist to also be
A business owner.
Yeah, or a boss. Like managing people.
Right, yes. right.
Where, like, you are so good at. So we want to have you on for November.
Yes.
It is November and we're fucking saying no this holiday season.
Yes, we are. We should do a skit on SNL.
We probably could.
It's November.
That'll be it.
We're talking about is November.
Yeah, no one is going to hire us.
No. Okay, so thank God we have another fruitful career because that's not it.
That is not it.
Yeah, saying no. And one thing that I love about saying no is you don't have to wrap a no in a justification and an explanation and an apology. You actually don't have to do that. No is a complete sentence. You can say, no.
Where did you get this skill from?
Oh, great question.
I want to hear, like, because this is not, one, how women are taught. We are taught to be incredibly compliant in every sense of the word.
Totally. And care about other people's feelings instead of our own. And so that's, I think, where the excuses come in of, and we, like, make up a story. Like, my cat has a broken toenail.
Yeah.
And so I can't come to that party.
So I can't do this thing that I planned on doing.
No one believes me. I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
So I want to hear the story, your journey with those.
Yeah. So on a personal level, I remember I was at my aunt's house with my friend Heather, and a guy had texted me and wanted to go out. Like, he was, like, asking out on a date. Or how guys are like, we should hang out, whatever. It wasn't, like, a well-thought-out ask, but he was asking me that. And I said out loud to Heather and my aunt, I have to be, like, maybe 19 at the time. Like, shit, like, what is my excuse going to be? Like, how am I going to say no to this? Or should I just go? And my aunt was like, literally just text back, no.
What was that? Like, A-A-H or
U-H? No.
She just, that's.
And it was groundbreaking to me because I'm like, no, you have to give an explanation. You have to say,
God forbid,
thank you
upset
so much
them.
For thinking about me. Right. And that's what it's about. It's about, how do I feel about myself? Right? Like, when I am particularly harsh or critical on myself, I have a hard time saying no because I don't see my own value.
Yeah.
And it's that, and it's also other people's reaction. You're, like, trying to preemptively manage how other people are going to feel about your no, even if it's what you want to say.
That's because it's almost like it feels like a rejection in some way, right? Like, I'm rejecting this person, especially in that situation.
Sure.
Right? Like, I'm rejecting this person. I don't want them to feel rejected. And so I'm going to pretend like this no isn't necessarily about them or the situation. You know, I have to pretend like, oh, I'm doing something else.
Right.
But it's so empowering to be able to say, listen, that's their feelings.
Right.
That's something they have to manage for themselves.
Yes, 100%. And I would say that, I say that to clients all the time, right? Like, it's not your responsibility to manage other people's reaction.
Yeah.
They're entitled to a reaction. You don't have to own it. You don't have to wear that.
Right.
That's on them.
Okay, wait. So you said something really important, which you said is like, also it has to do with your relationship to yourself.
Totally.
So I want to hear about that part.
Totally. I mean, when we knew each other, I hated myself.
Same.
Right? I was like,
does anyone not hate themselves? Like, maybe, but 13, like,
probably.
Holy
not
shit.
Oh my God. I was like layering 8 camis and then a Henley and then a big belt in the middle of me and low rise jeans. None of it fit me, looked good. I was uncomfortable in it, but I felt like I had to fit in. I felt like I had to do things in service of other people.
I was wearing a lot of Victoria's Secret pink at that time, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
That was very, there was
that
big.
That dog, that dumbass dog.
That dumbass dog. That dumbass pink dog. What was that, right?
Yeah, what was that
And
dog?
It was a lot of neon colors, also, which was not my palette.
A lot of things at the time, also Abercrombie, like everything had it like plastered.
Well, yeah. And I was not, because I hit puberty before everyone else, I was not fitting into Abercrombie and Hollister, right? Mm. So like everything, you just feel like garbage and everyone's bodies look so different and everyone's experience is so different and no one's talking about it and you just hate yourself.
Like I experienced puberty actually much later than everyone else, and so that was embarrassing. There's no good time.
If you're not horrible. Normal, right?
Whatever
if you're not,
normal is.
Exactly.
And no one was normal.
Because there is no, normal's like a huge spectrum. Normal's not one thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I spent a lot of years deeply disliking myself. I've gotten a lot through therapy. I've gotten a lot better at liking myself and recognizing the value that I have. And in that way, that's like when that switch flipped that I was like, oh, I can say no. I don't have to do things because other people want me to do them. Yeah. I can communicate how I actually feel.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high-quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready-to-eat meals, kids' snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
So I feel like a lot of people, their concern is other people getting upset.
Sure.
Right? So like, right, when you talk about this of saying no, a lot of people's fear is other people being angry at them. And that does happen sometimes.
Definitely.
Right? Anytime you put a boundary down, people don't fucking love it.
Right. They have some kind of reaction.
But that does not concern you.
No.
Did it used to?
Yeah. I mean, especially like teenage years, early 20s. Again, I think I was still really fixated on being what other people thought I should be or being, right, like fitting the mold that other people wanted me to fit. Mm-hmm. So in that way, I was saying yes to things that I didn't want to do.
You know, when we post on Instagram, the things that get the most likes are when we post things about saying no.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because I think we all have that desire, right? Whether it's Saturday night plans that you don't want to go to but you say yes to because you don't want to miss out on something. Yes. Or if it's a third date with a guy that you met on Hinge that you didn't really like on the first date, you didn't really like him on the second date, but you're still going to go on the third, mm-hmm. right? And some of that is also like, what if I say no to something and then I F up, right? I regret it. Mm. Like, oh, what if that was the guy? He's not the guy.
He's not the guy.
If you went on two dates and it sucked, he's not the guy.
Right. But you're so right. Like the possible fear of missing out. Or, I mean, this used to be happening to me in college. Like, I went through my freshman year of college. I think I went out, like, almost every single night. Because my fear was if I don't go out, I will miss the best night ever. And then my fear wasn't, like, the experience. My fear was that I'll be left out of everything afterwards. Right?
100%.
The inside jokes, the experience, the relationships with the dudes they met out, right? Like, the fear was, like, if I say no to something, if I put a wall up, it will lead to my eventual rejection and abandonment.
Totally.
Not at all talking about my personal experience here.
No, not at all.
I was also going to say, that's not at all related to your childhood either.
Yeah, no.
No.
I don't think anything we do is related to our childhood.
No, no, no. We're not repeating patterns.
No, there's
no childhood. Not us. Not us therapists.
No. No, we are. I don't know her. Yeah. Another thing, so something that I will struggle with too, is that like, I'll say I won't commit to plans because I don't know how I'm going to feel in the moment.
Ah, you want the out.
I want the out, and also, like, my feelings about being social change from day to day.
How can I say yes today if I don't know how I feel on Saturday?
Exactly.
Right.
Right?
But couldn't mm-hmm. Saturday come and you say,
no.
I understand I previously said yes to this. My feelings have changed.
Yeah, I think I do that now.
Yeah.
To an extent. I might make the
excuse. Do you just suffer through it sometimes?
Yes. Well, sometimes I feel like I force myself out, and then I'm like, I'm glad I did this.
Yeah, sometimes it
turns out to be great.
Right, just fine.
But I am very finicky with my plans.
Okay, so I'm wondering, so one of the things I think people want to know about is when they're asked for something, especially when it comes to like systems in their life, right? So their family of origin, their work environment, their group of friends, obligations, any of these things, how do I say no in a situation like that? I feel like it's easier to say no to some dude on Hinge.
Right.
That I don't know and I don't care about.
Block their number.
Ghosting.
Say no and block their number.
Mm, so you don't have to worry about the aftermath.
Or just don't read the aftermath. Don't respond to the aftermath, right?
Mm, okay, but anything like else. Yes, yeah.
Bigger things, right? Yes, not the guy on Hinge. So work or family.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Those boundaries are even harder because we like predictability. Mm. Humans do.
Mm.
Even when you know a system is toxic, like even if you know like my mom and I have a really rocky relationship, but it's predictably rocky. I know how she's going to react or act with me. It's easier to just like go with the status quo,
mm-hmm.
right? Than like cause a rupture in that way, cause some kind of break. So it's really hard to set those boundaries with family.
Yes.
And, you know, or a relationship that you're in with a partner and with work. And then work is complicated because there's also like a financial, right, of like,
but well, it's power. A job. Well, I mean, but like a position of power, right? If I mm-hmm. say no to my boss, so then I take myself out of a running for a promotion or something, right? When there's positions of power.
Or can't like connect to them in some way.
Yes,
like,
I think it makes it so, so hard to then say that no, because the fear is, will they use this? And for a lot of us in childhood, if you said no to your parents, it was then sometimes used against you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, then you keep doing that later on of, like, my boss will use this against me if I say no to this workload, even though I'm actually going to fucking die if I take on one more thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really important also, right? It's so upsetting how quickly that spiral happens, right? It goes from being like, oh, this one thing I want to say no to now they're going to think this global, universal thing about me versus they're going to think about this one instance in which I didn't want to do something, right? So it's really important for me, at least, to keep in mind when I'm saying no to something, this doesn't change who I am as a person. Mm-hmm. This doesn't mean I'm lazy. This doesn't mean somebody's not going to love me anymore. This means that I'm setting a boundary that I'm comfortable with.
I you know, speaking to that too, the thing that came to my mind is, like, if you're in an environment where you're saying no and it because of your own health and it does greatly affect how they see you, to ask yourself, is this a healthy work environment for me where I can't say no to protect my own sanity, my own health, even friendships, family, right? Like, is this a healthy relationship that I'm in that I'm expected to not say no, or they're going to get very angry at me, or there's no understanding?
Right.
And I think that happens.
Definitely.
Oh my God, yes.
It definitely happens. I think there's also, like, you know, obviously I want everybody to own their own shit, right? Like, I bring whatever I bring to an interaction. But when you're setting a boundary and somebody has a large reaction, that reaction is their shit. That's about them. Yeah. It's not about the person setting the boundary, right? That's their own nonsense that they should be sorting out. And people are – I don't want to take that away from people.
Yeah, yeah.
You're entitled to whatever type of reaction you need to have. That's fair. That emotions
but it also
are
doesn't
fine.
Mean someone else has to
– clean it up.
Yeah, exactly. You are entitled to your reaction, and every feeling you're having is valid, and it doesn't mean that it's actually about this other person.
Right, and it doesn't mean you have to throw it up onto them, right?
Ooh, emotional dumping.
Yeah, terrible.
Which I think people are confused for vulnerability, and those are not the same things.
No, yeah, people definitely confuse vulnerability. Now I'm just, I'm like thinking about online dating.
Tell us.
And like dating. Oh, God. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yes.
Wow, let's hope he doesn't listen. I went on a...
I think he probably does not, based on our listenership. Okay, we'll find out.
We'll find out.
Okay.
I almost said his name. Hey. So we met at a local Iron Hill for a beer. It was the afternoon. Iron Hill Brewery, right? It's a brewery.
Yeah.
He got scotch. Okay. Like, that's your drink of choice. All right. But, like, you know, we're in our 20s, so I don't know about that. And almost immediately, he, like, slammed his scotch back. Also, that's a sipping thing. But, okay, again, teach their own.
You're trying to be open-minded, whatever. But man.
Yeah, like, I used to drink.
What do you mean throw it back? Like just, like, shot?
Boom. Do like a shot.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a big old gulp. Like, it was a lot. In the afternoon.
Yeah.
Jen, come on. And then he was like, oh, so I have a really disordered relationship with eating and with food because I asked, like, do you want to get an appetizer or something? And I'm like, okay. Like, all right, so food's off. We don't have to get anything to eat. And then it turned into, you know, and everyone thinks my brother is hotter than me. My mom is really powerful at her job, and I work there too. And
you know a lot of information.
Oh, my God. I mean, really, and it was quite a lot. And I used to think of that as, like, wow, I must make people feel so comfortable, and that's so great. And while, like, I hope that's true and I hope my clients feel that way, also, whoa, man.
Whoa.
This is a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, it took even
this
more
This is not
time.
In session.
Oh, yeah. He was like, I'm going to tell my mom about you.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he also recently texted me and said, are you upset? Oh, I wish I had my phone. It was like, did something happen? And I said, ? And he said, you unfollowed me on Instagram.
Oh, he noticed.
Okay, wait, who notices that? Wait.
Just being the detective that I am.
Yeah.
You went on a date in your 20s.
Yeah.
And he texted you recently saying.
Yes.
How many years ago?
Oh, my God.
So he's eight? Been like, wow.
Yeah. 7 or 8.
Holy shit.
Okay. So
we also have another episode where you just tell us all your dating
stories. My dating
stories.
Yes, sure.
Oh my God, they're probably
what
very
a
good.
Fucking train wreck. Yeah. Happily.
Well, I feel like, okay, there's this part that people think, like, as soon as you tell someone you're a therapist outside the room, people become way too comfortable.
Yeah.
I am not your I said, I'm a therapist. I did not say I was your therapist. And where's my money?
Right. Also, I'm going to have to sign some fucking paperwork,
I need a consent to treatment. I'm going to need an ROI to talk to other people.
So many people are like, if you tell them you're a therapist.
Oh, I stopped.
Especially if you're out or something, they'll be like, oh, analyze me. And I'm like, okay, you really want me to do this? And
they're I'm like, no.
So I have done it, and it gets way too deep for them, and then they get, like,
uncomfortable.
Pissed.
Yeah. Oh, I just say I work in a prison. Which, I mean, then
I say I work in finance.
1,000 I wish.
And if they ask you any finance questions?
I say I work with finance and turtles. Yep. Financial turtles.
The turtles actually do the finance, and right. I'm just a taskmaster for the turtles.
And then they run.
They barely walk.
No, I mean, the people Emily's talking to, not the turtles. The
turtles. They're not moving quick.
They're not.
Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packaged. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon. Or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
But so, I think there's also something like people have two very different experiences with therapists. So, like, you've either, like, growing up, you went to this therapist that was, like, 1 million years old, and it was a very uncomfortable experience, and then you, like, later on, you meet, like, cool, younger, modern therapist, and there's, like, it's, like, you were so walled when you were in the room with that other person, and then you're too unhinged with this other situation, and that can be a problem.
Yeah.
I have to say, like, when, you know, as therapists, I know that you experience this, I'm sure you experience this, just as you're saying, that when people know you're a therapist, they will reach out to you. Like, the amount of random people that I have talked to who have been in some sort of crisis who I never would have talked to otherwise.
I know a lot of people's information.
Me too. And so
that's not about HIPAA.
I get stuck between this point of, like, I actually really want to help people get into therapy. Mm-hmm. Like, that feels like a personal mission
for finding me. Finding a therapist.
And also, but, like, part of that is, like, almost talking, it ends up being talking to them a little bit. So there's, like, a very fine line, I feel like, in setting that boundary, but also wanting to help people get into therapy. Mm-hmm. And so I think as a therapist, navigating those boundaries of, like, when people reach out to you who want to talk about some of their stuff, but also you're not their therapist, and right. like guiding them into it. It's almost when you have, like, an intake point or, like, an intake call with someone.
Right.
And you have to cut them off and be like, listen, this isn't a session. Like, but we have to set this up.
We have 15 minutes together.
We have 15 minutes together.
You just find the right fit. Yeah, right.
Right. And so I think finding that balance in terms, if we're talking about saying no and setting boundaries, that, like, being able to say, okay, where does something that feels good for me, something where I'm helping them get into therapy, where does that end in terms of now they're just emotionally dumping on me?
Yes. Mm. Well, that's when you say, here's our website.
That is what I
said. Fill out a contact form.
Yep.
Or don't, because we have a very long wait list.
Here's somebody else's website.
Here is a list of therapists. Like, right? Yes. I really think you should go talk to someone. I think this is something you could really, like, get into in therapy. Here's the name of someone I think you'd be a great fit with.
I'm sorry to go back to this.
Yes. Like, is it about the date?
Yeah.
Okay, because I have to tell you something I forgot to mention about
him. Yeah, no, please, and I want to
He won't wear jeans. He will not wear jeans.
Oh, was that an eating disorder thing? That could be a disorder body image thing.
He would never wear jeans. It was, like, always a thing.
They're uncomfortable.
I'm not going to lie. I did go out with him twice. So I might as well just throw that out
there. Was that person who you were like, oh, you go twice, that he's not your person? Was that him?
No. I never thought he was my person.
But was there a point in that conversation where you said no, or you put a boundary up, or you wanted to put a boundary up?
I wanted to put a boundary up, and I was like, this person, right? It hooks you in a way emotionally because you're like, this person must not have anybody.
Yeah.
Is how I felt in the moment. I was like, shit, like, I guess he should say it to me instead of roommating.
Because we're talking about a man, right? So I feel like there's also like this emotional caretaking of women where it feels like, oh, men never open up. I should be so honored that he did.
Right.
And is telling me this, he probably doesn't have anyone else in his life. And it's like,
meanwhile,
wait,
every date he goes on, he's saying the same thing.
probably literally still to this day. I will say, I did not friend him on Instagram. After he texted me and was like, you unfollow me on Instagram. I was like, yep.
Did you say that or you just said nothing?
Yeah, I said, yeah.
What happened?
Nothing. He didn't respond. I imagine he was very hurt by that.
I'm avoidant. I would not have said anything. I am avoidant. I would be like, I'm not going to give you access to me at all for conversation.
But I just love that you were just like, yes.
Yeah, I did.
Well, so, okay. So here's, oh, I have a good question.
Yes.
As we talk about saying no in November, I think honesty and truthfulness go into this too, where one of the things I did a lot in my 20s was lie.
About anything. Yeah. Okay. All right. It just felt right. Whatever.
Anything that I needed to lie about to not possibly have to deal with a situation or somebody getting upset with me, I would say.
Sure.
Right?
Makes a ton of sense.
Avoidance,
right? Because that's like a big thing for me. So like what I said, like if somebody texted me and said that, I would just not answer them because I'm avoidant in that way. But I think it also goes to like, so like you then adapt to just lie all the time.
Right.
And that's not very good.
And it's really probably not what you want.
No,
right?
It's
like
not.
It's short-term avoidant, no long-term yes. gain, though, in that way.
Mm. So what's the long-term game? So let's talk about that, though, because let's inspire people.
Like, what's the because I think every people should make this decision.
Well, because everyone hyper-focuses on the discomfort they feel when they say no.
Sure.
But we should really be focusing on the long-term peace that you feel.
What's the reason to not avoid?
Is there one?
Is there one?
tell us.
I feel just so much – it's empowering. It's empowering to, like – I hate this phrase, but speak your truth. It's empowering to say what you want, say what you need, say what you're not willing to do, right? Like, that feels great. Mm. It also puts me much more in touch with, like, what do I actually want? You are able to ask yourself those questions because you're actually going to honor it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, in a way, if you're avoidant, I don't know that you're asking yourself those questions.
You don't
you're
really have
like,
to.
Exactly.
You don't have to – ask yourself those questions if you know that you could avoid, because you can pretty much avoid anything if you really want to.
Yes,
right. Taxes. Just, they'll take your taxes. Bank account.
And death. Sorry.
I will be freezing myself in one of those tubes. Do you know what I'm thinking
about?
Are
there frozen tubes you could freeze yourself in?
I don't see why there won't be.
Are you thinking about Austin Powers? Yeah, are we exactly having Austin Powers?
No, I'm thinking about something so much fucking weirder. You remember those toys? It's like fluid.
Yes, I know exactly. And you put your fingers in.
Yes. I want to be in one of those. Like pink shimmers and small starfish. I'd like to live in that when I'm dead. Because I won't be dead.
You'll be frozen. What's happening?
I don't know if that's realistic. I don't plan on dying yet, so there's time. If anybody listening wants to get
time will tell. If anyone wants to invest.
Well, who thought Dogecoin would be something?
Right.
Listen.
Right?
We were just having a conversation about, like, I still don't understand cryptocurrency. I understand literally nothing that's going on, but I know I want in, man.
Do ya?
I think.
What I love about crypto is that I know nothing about it, number one. But what I love is that it reminds me nothing is real.
Wait, but then
like when I look at my student loan debt or like debt that I have, I'm like, money's not real, hee hee, because it isn't.
And wait, okay, but like I read this thing about how horrible Bitcoin is for the environment, and I was like, I don't understand.
Wait, how?
That servers, energy.
Yes. It's actually worse for the environment than paper.
My mind's like shutting down.
Okay.
Why?
So I'm just so confused about what's going on.
Oh, it's not real. You don't have to think about it.
Nothing's real. Okay. Nothing's real. So wait. So if nothing is real, then saying no is possible.
Totally. And I encourage everyone to say no, really.
Okay, so I have a question. What about people who have experienced real harm from saying no? I mean, we'll take
abusive?
Sure. That's pretty hard to then come out of and
like
say no,
even if high control environments.
Yep.
And this thing is like, okay, and I think this is something that's happened in my marriage, is like I lied a lot in my 20s as a way of like avoiding and just like different things. And then there was like in the beginning of my relationship, I realized I was like lying a lot, and now I'm married to this person and I have some lies out there. And these are now, of course, unraveling. My husband's like, what a weird thing to lie about. Like,
oh, that didn't happen?
And like, but like, so like, that's the thing, is like, you can't stop. That's what's like, so
yeah, you get yourself kind of in a hole there, huh? A hole.
So even if you use something, you adapted to something for survival to figure out a way, it's gonna catch up to you and not work out so well.
Right. Yeah, that's very true. Saying no is great, and it's also just about like better communication.
Yeah.
Right. So like, I'm the friend who you would, or therapist who you would call and be like, I got to break up with this guy, or, oh my God, my ex texted me. What do I say back to him? Because I love to be very direct in my communication.
How would you respond to that?
If you don't want them to reach out to you, or what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would probably say, I'm not comfortable with us having contact. And you know what I wouldn't say?
What?
I hope you're doing great. Or whatever dumb shit people always put at the end of a text message when they're like setting a boundary and
trying
then like,
it's
softness on both sides, right? So like that's what everyone wants to like cushion in with fluff.
Because it feels, it's like when you're sending, it feels very harsh in a way. But it also there's a like piece of it too, once again, that it's like I need to take care of their emotional response to this.
Totally.
Well, and like it's like, have you ever seen like when they talk about the difference of how men and women send emails?
Oh yeah.
The exclamation points. Oh, yeah.
I mean, have you guys
I actually...
Me? I'm the queen of this. Like, so, I'm like,
you do love to punctuate.
When I talk to my husband about sending emails to clients, I'm like, you should put exclamation points in this because you sound very, like, dry.
Right?
Because I'm like, there's an exclamation points
in it. But, like, but is that because... I don't know. It's because that's
yours,
what we've
sometimes
done.
Sometimes the amount of exclamation... It sounds like you're screaming at me.
I love it. Every time I read an email from Emily, I'm like, she's fucking enthused.
She is excited.
Wow, look at that.
Mine's usually, like... at the beginning and then like maybe at the end.
Oh, I just word vomit. When I send my timesheet.
I word
vomit.
Lindsay's timesheets are the best. You would think also, because as you guys know, we don't have a very professional office here. So like we welcome any and all things. But your timesheet subjects when you send them in are the funniest fucking things I've
I'm
ever
so
seen.
Glad
yeah.
You do
like
that.
Just so everyone, the finance of it all is correct for the most part. Yes. Like I'm not effing up that. I'm not like writing sillies in the middle of a spreadsheet. There's no sillies in the Excel, but
sillies.
But like in some work environments, you would not be allowed to do that. That would be like
I love
shamed.
It so much when
no,
you do
I think it's my I favorite thing do. In the entire world. Yeah. I wish everyone did their timesheets like that. But in a lot of places, I don't know. When you're at prison, do you think you behave differently personality wise than when you're in this office?
Could you send your timesheet in like that?
I have a pretty cool boss.
Oh,
but he is not an exclamation point guy. I'll tell you that. No. Like,
because he's a guy.
He's not right. He's never putting an exclamation point anywhere.
No,
he's
not enthused. But do you read it as you're not enthused?
No, because I know him.
Yeah.
You know, like once you have a better feel for somebody. But I think I'm a little bit different. I mean, also it's prison, right? So like, I'm not wearing a crop top. I'm wearing like a bag, essentially. And I'm not totally myself because I can't be. Yeah. Right? Like, I am with individuals, and like when I'm in like a space doing therapy or doing evaluations, sure, but to a degree you're like a little bit more guarded, which kind of sucks.
Yeah,
it is. And I can understand why that's needed for certain places,
right?
Like you're not gonna be your most like joking self at all places, but
oh,
I think
I do a little joking. I do some sillies. I don't know why
silly
I'm saying
goose.
That.
I really like it.
It sounds so weird.
I know. We recorded a podcast earlier on. We talked about being a silly goose. So, like, I really enjoy a silly.
I know. Silly's kind of like
silly's
a fun
nice.
Word,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like dope.
I don't like that word.
Doofus. No? You guys are playing this much?
No, not so
no.
much.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of a good word
dope.
That I like.
I was thinking dope, like you're dope. Kick
oh,
ass.
No,
you
no.
were thinking like you're
oh.
a dope and a dunce.
Like,
whatever.
Oh, I'm a dope.
Oh, I was thinking dope like drugs, so.
Wow.
So we're out on
we
dope.
We all went in different directions, man.
I like ninny.
Oh, well, you're, hey, in
it's
the spirit.
Ninny muggins.
In the spirit of the holidays, it's a cotton-headed ninny muggin.
Mm-hmm. I do really like to say ninny, and I won't be stopping that. Okay. I also like to say fuck. Like, it's not about the fact. I love saying fuck. It's not about the fact that it's like a...
What's the cursing rules of prison?
Word. Oh, great question. There are none.
Oh.
I mean, if someone were to, like, curse in a threatening manner, that would be one thing. There is such thing as a charge for abusive or obscene language. So if a correctional officer said, like, oh, lock in your cell, and you were like, fuck you! Me or the inmate, right? An individual who's incarcerated, they could get a charge. But I curse all the time in prison.
Are there any times in prison where you're saying no to people or you are setting like a strong boundary?
All the time.
Tell us about
that. I do so many boundaries at prison.
Tell us about that.
So part of being a mental health professional in that setting is that you're kind of triangulated between what you want as the mental health professional, what the individual who's incarcerated might need, and then the larger system that you work inside, which is by nature oppressive, racist, terrible, right? Like, so much about the criminal justice system in this country needs to be really, truly addressed. So it's a hard spot to be in, to be like, I want to honor what I think this person needs from a mental health perspective because I have clinical judgment. And I have to recognize that, like, I don't make the final decision in a lot of ways because of where I work.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I have some power, but not a ton.
But I feel it now, like, but even in, like, in private practice, right? Like, we have, like, duty to report and stuff. And, like, there's a lot of times where, like, I don't really want to report something and I have to report it. Like, it's bullshit and it sucks and it does not feel good for us as providers. It just is.
Yes. Yeah. That's a great way to look at it, too. That is how I look at it, so I don't get, like, angry about, right? Like, I can't be rageful about it daily. Can you imagine?
No.
You just be rageful all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine live like that.
Being rageful daily.
You can definitely imagine me being rageful because I think you've seen it, but my rageful is quick.
I don't think I've ever seen you rageful.
Have you seen you angry? Yeah, I have seen you angry.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have way more of a history.
No, but you've never even seen in the me office.
Angry here. No, you're looking like you're all, like, jumping around.
Oh, well, I'm very, like...
When her car accident happened?
I'm very get mad, get over it. Like, I don't harbor that. Yes, like, I recognize my emotions are the weather. And I am the sky. And my emotions are going to come and go. It might be really rainy today. In fact, it's Sunday, and I have a feeling it will be. I have a feeling I will have the scaries immediately when this is over. And I'll feel rainy. And it won't rain forever. It'll probably rain again someday.
Absolutely.
But it won't rain every day.
I'm going to order you lunch after this.
That'll probably help, don't you think?
So we have a few more minutes of sunshine before the rain comes, before the Sunday scares.
But I like to think about it that way, right? Like,
well, I think that's a good way to think about it with everyone's emotions, right? Because I think when you're in a dark place, it feels like this is going to last forever. And so we react so strongly to being in that place as opposed to recognizing it and allowing it to pass.
Totally.
Okay. So I didn't tell you I was going to do this beforehand. I haven't told Jen I'm going to do this, but I have an idea.
It's an interpretive dance.
I hope so.
Yes. That's exactly what I'd like you to do right now, swan-like bitch. Okay. No. My question is, I think that it'd be really helpful for some people for us to do a quick role play. And I say that of, like, I'm going to say this to you, and how would you address it? Because I think a lot of people want scripts, and it feels overwhelming, especially when there's emotional attachment to, like, do this.
Totally.
So if I say... Now I have to think of one because I didn't plan ahead enough of this, but I have one. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready to rumble?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. So.
Jock jams.
Yeah.
I did a dance in like eighth grade to jock jams, and we all wore a different neon colored shirt from Limited 2. It wasn't eighth grade. My God. It must have been like fifth. And I was like chubby and it did not fit me good, the shirt, and everyone else looked good in theirs.
So rude. It
still haunts me.
Yes, okay. That's right. Anyway. Different bodies, right? Different bodies.
I'm unwell.
Yeah. Okay. So, hey, do you have a minute to talk on the phone?
Oh, and we're saying I don't?
Or you don't want to.
Yeah.
Right. It's not even just I don't. Like, maybe you are sitting there doing fucking nothing, but you don't want to.
I don't right now.
Okay, I have another.
Yeah.
You're on the phone.
Okay.
You've been on the phone.
Ooh, you want to get off the phone?
You want to get off the phone. And they're just talking and talking and talking.
Emotionally dumping.
Emotionally dumping. Go.
Jen, I know you're in a place where it feels like you need to get this out right now. I'm sorry, I have something I need to do.
Do you, though?
No. I mean, that's like the kind way of doing it, right? I mean, you can also just say, I have to get off the phone now.
I love that.
I have to go, yeah. I have to go.
It's very freeing.
Well,
you know when there's riddling? Jesus, Lindsay. Rifling through an excuse pile in your head. Yes. And you're like, oh, I guess I could say X or Y. Like, is that good enough? No, we don't need to do that.
I think that's the thing is, like, we think because it's simple that it's easy. And this can be very hard and also be very simple. So I think when something feels hard, we then don't simplify it. We make it incredibly complex. And we think of this entire excuse of 50 different things to say as opposed to no. Because simple feels like, oh, that couldn't possibly work because this feels distressing emotionally.
Right.
I have another one.
Yes.
When you're, like, meeting someone, right, and you're, like, out. It's weird that all of mine are about social interaction.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah, so weird. And you're talking to them, but you're, like, okay, I want to get out of this conversation. I'm just going to answer this one myself because I've learned
how to do this. Yeah, what do you do?
Say, it was really good to see you.
Yeah. That's cut it right off.
Yeah.
And cut it right there.
Great. It was so good to see you. And then you just bounce.
Well, you know, that makes me think of, I don't know. I don't know if it was on the Facebook or the TikTok or whatever it was on, but people were saying, like, when an ex or somebody reaches out to you, do you send the paragraph or do you not send the paragraph, right? There's, like, all this pressure of, like, mm-hmm. do I provide a lengthy explanation? Do I say nothing? Do I say something short?
Yeah.
And that's stressful. The wrong thing to do is whatever doesn't feel right for you, right? There's no wrong other than if it's not the fit for you and you're doing it because that's what you think you should be doing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, before we end for today.
Yes.
All of our guests play a game.
We forgot to tell you that.
Yes.
Okay.
That's called calling bullshit. And we're just going to ask you to call some bullshit on your topic. So call some bullshit about saying no.
Oh, wow. It doesn't mean anything about you.
No.
No. I'm calling bullshit on saying no does not make you a bitch. It doesn't make you mean. It doesn't mean you don't care about the person you're saying no to or mm-hmm. setting a boundary with. It's health.
Oh, mic drop. Do you want
suck on power? That. I wish I had a...
If you want to work with Dr. Lindsay, good luck. She has a wait list. But,
you know.
If you're interested in potentially working with Dr. Lindsay and you're located in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Delaware, you can check her out on our website, thetherapygroup.com. If you enjoyed this episode, we ask you to send it on over to someone who else who might enjoy it. We ask you to rate 5-star review, subscribe and follow on Apple Podcasts, and to grow yourself, you got to know yourself. We'll see you next week.